3, 16, 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. Please be seated. It is Palm Sunday. And so I put forth the question for the sermon today of what is Palm Sunday? And the answer is that Palm Sunday is the day that we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. 1 week before his resurrection, as Jesus entered the holy city, he neared the end of his long journey of life on earth. He had come to save the lost, and now was the time and the place to secure salvation. Palm Sunday marks the start of what we call Holy Week or Passion Week, the final 7 days of Jesus' ministry, of his earthly ministry. We've been talking about that the last couple of weeks. And Palm Sunday was the beginning of the end of Jesus' work on earth. Palm Sunday began with Jesus and his disciples traveling over the Mount of Olives. The Lord sent two of his disciples ahead into the village of Bethphage and to find an animal to ride. They found an unbroken colt of a donkey, just as Jesus had said they would. And when they untied the colt, the owners began to question them. The disciples responded with the answer that Jesus had provided: the Lord needs it. Amazingly, the owners were satisfied with that answer and let the disciples go. And they brought the donkey to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As Jesus went toward Jerusalem, a large multitude gathered around him. The crowd understood that Jesus was the Messiah. John recorded in his gospel in John 12, 17 and 18, the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. Now, the crowd's action along the road give rise to the name Palm Sunday. Matthew 21:8 says, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The Gospel of John is a little more specific in saying that they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. So, in laying their cloaks on the road, the people were giving Jesus the royal treatment. King Jehu was also given a similar honor and a similar welcome at his coronation, which is recorded in 2 Kings 9:13. Now, on the first Palm Sunday, the people shouted praises to Jesus. Matthew 21:9 says, and the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In their praise of Jesus, the Jewish crowds were quoting Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. Now imagine that for just a moment, if you will, because when they are saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, imagine what it would be like to get a whole crowd of people to recite a Bible verse. Can you picture that in your mind? You know, you can picture how, you know, at a sporting event, you know, at the Olympics or something, everybody's going, USA, USA. But to get the whole crowd shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You almost have to think that the Holy Spirit was involved in sweeping through the hearts of all those people to get them to bring up this song, this messianic song that was a promise that they had been waiting for and waiting to see fulfilled before their eyes. And here it is, and it's happening, and the crowds are chanting. But there's always somebody. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." However, Jesus saw no need to rebuke those who told the truth. He replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." What if we stopped praising God on earth? Not just us, but what if everybody just stopped globally? What do you suppose would happen? And if the stones began to cry out, what do you think they would cry out? Do you think that the stones would cry, "Hosanna to the Son of David? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"? I almost think that they wouldn't say that. I almost think that what they would say is, "Lord, get us out of here. These people are nuts. They're going to ruin everything." I think that would be their cry. Some 450 to 500 years prior to Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, the prophet Zechariah had prophesied the event we now call Palm Sunday. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The prophecy was being fulfilled right before their eyes, and it was indeed a time of rejoicing as Jerusalem welcomed their king. The crowds looked for the Messiah, for a Messiah who would rescue them politically and free them nationally. But Jesus did not come for that. He had come to save them spiritually. A sort of first things first, if you will. Mankind's primary need is spiritual, not political, cultural, or national. All across our nation, right now, yesterday in particular, we saw it, people are calling out for an end to gun violence. And I am here to tell you this morning that the problem is not guns. The problem is not mental health. The problem is not broken homes. The problem is not wayward youth. The problem is not video games or violence on television. The problem is a nation that embraces religion and social reform, but they fail to open their hearts to the spiritual rebirth that comes through accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There lies our problem. The multitudes waved the palm branches, and they shouted, "Hosanna." But they missed the reason for Jesus' presence. Think about it. They didn't just misunderstand the triumphal entry. They misunderstood everything. You see, John had accounted that all those people had shown up because they were aware that Jesus had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. They were like, if that guy can do that, he can do anything. Maybe they heard that he fed 5,000 people on a sack lunch. They were all thinking, wow, that's going to solve the school lunch problem. They were thinking, we heard that he calmed the sea. Wouldn't it be nice, you know, like when that hurricane came against the East Coast and wiped out so much ground down in Puerto Rico, for one. I was thinking of up north, New Jersey. Or when the hurricane came into New Orleans and devastated someone. Wouldn't it just be awesome to have somebody here on earth who could just walk up there and go, peace, be still, and everything would go. Wouldn't that be a handy hurricane weapon? I mean, really. Wouldn't that be nice to put him in charge of, you know, the national weather? And that's what they were looking for when they saw the Messiah coming in. Oh, there's some people, you know, they think when we get this president elected or that politician in office, or this or that is going to happen, or next election, we're going to vote in people. They're going to fix this. I listened to a girl give a speech yesterday at Washington, D.C., and she kept saying, if you don't do something, we're going to vote you out. And, you know, it's kind of inspirational. Vote you out. I've been voting what they call the NRA. I've been voting that way for years. You know what NRA stands for? Never reelect anybody. You might have that confused with another organization, but that's primarily what it stands for. So I've been voting that way for years because I don't like the way things are going, because we keep drifting in this more secular direction, and I'm not good with that. The multitudes waved those palm branches and they shouted Hosanna, but they missed the true reason for Jesus even being on earth. It wasn't to fix their government. It wasn't to set them physically free from the Romans. It was to set them spiritually free from the Romans and from their sin and from all the nightmares that affect us, all the things that crowd in around us. That's why he was there. All of the frictions that we have and the interpersonal conflicts that go on and the rub that happens. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus wept over Jerusalem. In part of this whole story of the triumphal entry, we often miss Luke 19, 41 and 42, where it says, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you had known that on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden in your eyes. Even Jerusalem didn't understand what was going to make the peace. They thought an absence of Romans would make peace. The absence of conflict does not bring peace. The presence of Jesus brings peace. It is a tragic thing to see the Savior, but not recognize him for who he is. The crowds who were crying out Hosanna on Palm Sunday were crying out crucify him later that week. That is the sad truth of Holy Week. It begins with cheers and ends with jeers. And I think it is difficult for us to separate our need for spiritual peace from our need for physical peace. And if you don't believe me on that, just go visit someone with a terminal illness and pray a prayer for them, right in front of them, and pray for their soul and never mention their illness. Most of them, most of us, would want you praying for our health to be restored. Like, I took care of my soul when I was in Foundation Bible School when I was 12. I'm okay now. I'm good. Pray for me to be healed, but I'll live to be 120 years old. We all know that it's inevitable that each of us will die. The Bible says it's been appointed that a man wants to die and then face the judgment. We know we're going to die. So shouldn't we be prepared to face the judgment? Especially when the message of salvation has been made so clear. Jesus Christ died for your sin. So on Palm Sunday, we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem. That's not what Palm Sunday was about, Jesus. We started by asking the question, what is Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday is the day that we celebrate Jesus coming into our hearts. You see, that's what he really wants for us, is to celebrate him coming into our lives and making a difference in our world. We work night and day to earn money that can be taken from us in a flash, and we all know it. And we pay so little attention to bringing Jesus into our hearts. Next week, we celebrate Easter. And we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. But the real celebration, even next week, it isn't Jesus rising from the dead. It's Jesus opening heaven's doors to all who would believe. He always knew he was going to rise from the dead. He just didn't know how many of us would go with him. He didn't know how many of us would receive him. And maybe today you don't know whether or not you're going to receive him. I want to ask you today, have you received Jesus into your heart? And if you have, are you just cheering and praying for Jesus' arrival into your problems, that he would fix this and fix that, and, you know, fix the United States and fix Washington and fix this problem and fix that problem? Or do you just come to him and say, Lord, I'm good with all the chaos if you just fix me? Because the first step of salvation is recognizing that the first problem that you can deal with is the one that's right here. So I challenge you today, modify all your prayers so that the first thing you do when you pray is you thank God that he would even listen to you, because Jesus Christ died for you and gave you a name that you can pray in. We always tag that on the end, and in Jesus' name, amen. Maybe we should say, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, I come to you. So I challenge you to think about how you pray. But more than that, I challenge you. I've done this a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to say it again. When did you receive Jesus Christ? Can you give me a date, a day, a time? Now, I can't remember the date for myself, but I can remember the experience. And for me, it was kind of a drawn-out thing. If I started knowing my testimony right now, you'd be late to lunch. Because first there was an event when I was 15. Then there was an event when I was 18. Then there was another event when I was 19. Then there was another event when I was about 30. So I think all those go together. So it's like the event is the events. But they're still there, and they're still very real. And so I ask you, when did you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? When did you bow your head and say, Father, forgive me. I have sinned, and I am a sinner, and I need to be set free, and I need your help. And it is, Lord, at this moment, all about me. It's not about seeing my loved one in heaven. It's about seeing you in my heart now, and understanding and knowing that it's not a selfish prayer, but it is the prayer that he is dying to hear you pray. Literally dying to hear you pray. This is the message of Palm Sunday. Jesus didn't come to fix our politics. He came to redeem our souls and to give eternal life to those who would receive him as Lord and Savior. Have you done that? I'm going to ask if you'd all stand. And that you wouldn't think about your neighbor standing next to you, but that you would think about yourself and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you would like to receive Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior today, I would like you to acknowledge that by just simply raising your hand high enough for at least me to see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anyone else? Okay, please put your hands down. Father, for these who raised their hands this morning, I pray, Father, that you would touch them. That you would flood them, Lord, with the sense of forgiveness and well-being. Because, Father, as they come to know you, they come to know the Creator of all things, the one who will never abandon them, never leave them, never leave them strung out on their own. They won't drop them like man will. But, Father, you will always, always, always be with them. And I pray, Father, that as they understand that today is the day, that is a part of their story, that they move from darkness to light. You, Lord. You, Lord, move in their hearts and heal them of their hurts. Break the bondage of the past and set them free to live your life to the future. They no longer need to be held back by their sin, by their hurt. Father, for all the rest who are here today, all those who need to rededicate their lives, I lift them up to you. I pray, Father, that you hear them, that you cleanse them, that you make them well, and you call them your own. Thank you, Father, for your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What shall we fear?
If we have victory over death, we have a victory over all things. So whatever it is that's nagging at you, whatever may be nagging at you, just let it go. Kick it off the cliff. Send it where it goes. Like a child running to its mother, Father, one day, we will run to you in Jesus' name.